show. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past and smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and as always, welcome again to Yesteryear, the best from the golden age of radio. On today's program, we'll enjoy Bold Venture with special guest stars Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart in The Chinese Statue. But first, let's turn back the clock to 1952. It's the James Clayton Matter, an episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Johnny Dollar was radio's last great detective series, premiering February 11th of 1949 and leaving the airwaves September 30th of 1962, on the final day of network radio drama. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator was portrayed by Charles Russell, Edmund O'Brien, John Lund, and Bob Bailey. On this edition from 1952, we'll give listen to the James Clayton matter. While substituting for a friend who's out of town, insurance investigator Johnny Dollar solves a case for a scared doctor who believes a patient is being terrorized by her husband. John Lund stars as Johnny Dollar, and Joseph Kearns plays Dr. James Clayton. From 1952, it's the James Clayton matter on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past and smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
From Hollywood, it's time now for John Lund as Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Chet Graham, Johnny.
Who?
Wake up, boy. Chet Graham, claims, New York Mutual.
Oh, hi, Chet. How are things?
Bad. Johnny, I have to make a little trip out to the coast on a phony claim. I'll be gone about 4 days, but I need someone to hold down my office while I'm away. Can you do it?
Well, that's not my line, Chet. You know that.
Well, make it your line, Johnny. Somebody has to be here. Look, you can live in my apartment. You can use my tickets to wish you were here. You can even take my girl if you want. New York's swell this time of year.
Haven't you got anybody there?
Oh, everybody's got the flu or busy or something.
When do you want to leave for the coast?
I'd like to get out on the noon plane today.
Well, I can be down there by 11.
Good. We'll probably miss each other, but just walk right in the office and make yourself at home. I'll call you from L.A.
Have a good trip. By the way, what does your girl look like?
Even your best dream was never that good.
Just leave her phone number on your desk.
John Lund. In the transcribed adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to New York Mutual Underwriters Limited, Rockefeller Center, New York City. Attention, Mr. Chester Graham, claims and adjustments. Dear Chet, you probably read some of this in the Los Angeles papers, but they don't have the whole story. Maybe they'll never get it all. I hope not. I found out part of it, stumbled into the rest of it, and I'm trying to forget all of it. The following is an accounting of expenditures during your 4-day absence in my investigation of the James Clayton matter. Expense account item 1, $14.35 transportation Hartford to New York, where, as per your advice, I walked in your office, sat down, and made myself at home. and where, 15 minutes later, I had a caller.
Mr. Dollar, is it?
That's right.
The girl at the reception desk said Mr. Graham was out of town and that you were taking his place.
Yes. Please sit down.
Well, thank you, but I don't have time. I'm Miss Stebbins, Dr. James Clayton's nurse. He asked me to see you.
I see.
He gave me these policy numbers. He said that your company wrote these policies and that he'd like to talk to one of you.
Well, certainly, Miss Stebbins. He can come by any time.
No, you don't understand. Dr. Clayton can't get away from the office. We're terribly rushed, and I really should be getting back myself. He's there all alone.
Well, do you know what it's about, Miss Stebbins?
No. The doctor's been acting strangely all day. He had me cancel all of his outside calls, and then he sent me here. He said to explain that it was very urgent. I'm very concerned for him.
The tall, pale brunette girl in the crisply starched uniform and cape was certainly concerned about something. She bit her lip, forced out a wan, unprofessional smile, and started to cry. I pretended not to notice all this as we got on the elevator and went down into the street. However, 10 minutes later, when we arrived at a suite of offices in the Pelroy building, I had to notice Dr. James Clayton. He met us at the door. Most of his costume was medically correct, white coat and carrying a stethoscope in one hand. But in the other, he brandished a .32 Ivor Johnson. The safety was off.
Oh, it's you.
Yes, doctor. This is Mr. Dollar from the insurance office.
Claims investigation?
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Jane, this would be a good time for you to get some lunch, don't you think?
Well, doctor, I have all of those lab reports to...
No, go ahead, Janie. Like a good girl, I want to speak with Mr. Dollar alone.
Of course, doctor, if you say so. Goodbye, Mr. Dollar.
Goodbye. Come in, Mr. Dollar. Sit down. Very fine girl, Jane. She's worked for me a long time. Very fine.
Do you always meet her at the door with firearms, doctor?
Oh, this. Well, all I can say is this is a ridiculous mess. My life's been threatened by a man who has definite homicidal tendencies. This, I don't even know how to load it. I look foolish, I suppose.
A threat on your life, doctor, comes under the heading of police business.
I know that very well. And I would go directly to the police, only... Well, it is a delicate matter. You seem dubious already.
No, just curious. Go on, please.
Well, several months ago, I attended a patient named Florence Harmon. A thorough examination disclosed that her poor physical condition wasn't based on any organic disorder, but rather upon an emotional instability. Now, this, I finally discovered, was brought about by her marriage to an erratic, ruthless, ill-tempered man, Benjamin Harmon. I could only advise that she divorce him immediately.
Well, that's somewhat extreme, Doctor. Are you always certain of advice like that?
In this case, there's no other answer. I approached Mr. Harmon on the subject last night at his home. I explained that Mrs. Harmon's health, her very life, is in jeopardy. More is involved here than keeping intact a union which has nothing but legality as a binding force.
I see. But Mr. Harmon doesn't care for semantics, huh?
He attacked me. If it hadn't been for the assistance of Mrs. Harmon and a servant, he might have choked me to death. When I left, he threatened me.
Then you should have called the police.
Yes, I thought of that. But look, if you approached Harmon in the right manner, Dollar, he might discard his ideas of violence.
Well, you're the expert on homicidal tendencies, but best thing I can see for you is to prefer assault charges and have him locked up.
I know all that, but it's for Mrs. Harmon's sake. Please understand, she's been through a shattering ordeal. Look, Mr. Dollar, would you go see him and talk to him? If you think he means it really, then I'll call the police and prefer charges against him.
The Harmon residence was in Westchester. A story and a half colonial with all the trimmings. There was a 51 Cadillac in the open garage and a 52 Ford station wagon in front of the house.
Yes?
This one didn't have a white coat or stethoscope, but he had a gun.
What is it?
Mr. Harmon?
I'm Harmon. What do you want?
Mr. Harmon, my name is Dollar.
And Dollar, Get out of my way! Oh!
Here, Mr. Dollar. Drink this. Easy now.
Oh.
Take it, please. Oh, you had quite a blow. Try a little more. It should make you feel better.
What was... Who...
Oh, you can bring suit against him, against us. You can do anything you want to, Mr. Dollar. He's just ungovernable. He could easily have killed you.
You, Mrs. Harmon?
Yes.
Your husband think I was the Iceman?
Oh, I don't know what he thought. I just heard him yell at you, and when I came to the door, you were lying there, and he'd taken the station wagon and left. Why, last night, he even attacked my personal physician and threatened to kill him. I don't know what's gotten into him. You'd better sit down.
It's getting better. Where'd he go?
Heaven only knows. Mad. That's what he is, Mr. Dollar. Mad. He's liable to do anything. I'm scared, Stiff.
I called Dr. Clayton, who promised to notify the police. It was about 5:45 when I got back to his office. A broad-shouldered man in a tweed suit was in the reception room.
Hi. You Dr. Clayton?
No. Hey, don't I know you?
I was thinking the same about you. Wait, Dollar?
Yeah.
Tom Bassman, Central Division.
Oh, sure. How are you, Tom?
Fine. Hey, you must be the one.
What?
This Dr. Clayton called downtown about a threat, said his insurance company had advised him to report it.
That's right.
Where is he?
Well, he should be here, Tom. What's his nurse say?
I rang the buzzer. No one around at all. What's this all about?
A man named Benjamin Harmon's threatened the doctor's life. I met him myself. He's carrying a gun, and he looked dangerous to me. I just came from his house.
He's still there?
No.
I better phone in and get a pickup out on him. When the doctor shows up, I'll get a complaint. Oh, hello.
Hello. Why, Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Miss Evans.
Dr. Clayton here?
This is Sergeant Bassman. We want to see him ourselves.
You're a police officer?
That's right, miss.
I heard him talking to you on the phone. Is anything the matter?
Just want to see him.
Well, goodness, he sent me out to pick up these things. He was here when I left. Oh.
What?
Perhaps he had an emergency.
Well, is there any way we can find out?
Well, if he had one, it would be right here on the pad, because I always have to know. That's funny.
What?
He got an emergency call, 1213 Alessandro Street.
Can I see that, please?
Uh-huh.
There's no name on this, Miss Stebbins. Do you recognize the address at all?
No, I don't. Doctor just wouldn't take a random emergency call unless it were very unusual.
This might be unusual. Dollar, how bad off did you think Harmon was?
Mad. Had a gun. Cracked me. Plenty rough.
Well, this is in the warehouse district.
Think we better go down there?
I think so. Have to be that vacant lot over there. This one's 1240, and the rest belong to that warehouse.
Yeah. Tom.
Hmm?
That car. MD on the license plate?
Yeah. It might be Clayton's.
Yeah.
That's Clayton's car, all right.
He must be around here somewhere looking for 1213.
Yeah. Well, let's have a peek.
Tom.
I see. He's had it. Is it Clayton?
Yeah, that's him.
Some emergency this was.
Yeah.
We'll return to yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now, with our star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
An hour of questioning in the neighborhood turned up two people who recalled hearing the shots. And one man remembered seeing a man who answered Benjamin Harmon's description loitering in the vicinity of a nearby bar earlier in the evening. Obviously, Dr. Clayton had been lured to his death by the murderer who had telephoned him, pretended to need a physician, waited till the victim appeared, and then shot him down. Expense account item 3, $11.65. A good dinner, 3 martinis, tip, and thinking at Tut Shores. After which, I strolled over to the Pelroy building. Expense account item 4, $5 even. Bribed watchman.
I shouldn't be doing this, you know. Might lose my job over it.
I appreciate it.
But since you're from the insurance company, I guess you're all right.
Just looking around is all.
Too bad about the doctor. Nice fella.
Very.
What do you think you'll find? A policeman been here till almost an hour ago, poking around.
You know if they found anything?
Sure.
Well, what?
Doctor's emergency kit. Heard him say he didn't take it with him when he went out on that emergency. Don't be too long.
The business about the emergency kit started me thinking. I opened Clayton's file drawer and skimmed through every patient's name from Abbott to Zabrowski. He'd been a thorough man, and from all evidences, operated an efficient medical office. However, he had no medical history in his files on Florence Harmon. There was nothing to indicate that she had ever been a patient of his. On the other hand, there was an entry a year before which showed that he had examined, treated, and discharged Benjamin Harmon as a patient. I think these two developments supplied me with all of the curiosity I needed for a while. Nurse Jane Stebbins' home address was duly noted on Dr. Clayton's phone book. Oakdale House. Surprisingly enough, on Oak Street. Special rates for nurses. Room 210.
Oh, Mr. Dollar.
How do you feel?
Not too good, Mr. Dollar. I just got home a little while ago. They kept me down there pretty long. Do you want to come in?
Thanks. I don't want to keep you up.
It isn't much of a place, is it? I mean, I haven't straightened it up for days, it seems. I'm sorry.
Things like this aren't easy. I know. Don't apologize to me.
Sit down, Mr. Dollar. Have they caught Mr. Harmon yet?
No, not yet. Miss Stebbins, you worked for Dr. Clayton a long while, didn't you?
5 years.
Then you should be able to tell me who he was going to marry.
Marry? Well, I didn't know. I have no idea.
He'd already made arrangements for a honeymoon.
Honeymoon?
Look, reservations on the Ile de France for next April. I found them in his desk drawer. Confirmed to Dr. and Mrs. James Clayton. Well?
What difference does it make?
I don't know. Seems strange that you've been with him for such a long time and didn't know about this. Or did you? All right. What about Mrs. Harmon?
Well...
Look, Miss Stebbins, things are wrong all the way down the line about your doctor's death, about what happened before it. It'll come out sooner or later.
I suppose it will. It's awful to say this, Mr. Dollar, but Mrs. Harmon was the only one Dr. Clayton saw socially. And she, of course, is married.
Of course. And the good doctor advised her to get a divorce. He met her when Mr. Harmon was a patient of his?
Yes, that's right. They became friendly.
But Mrs. Harmon was never a patient.
No, never. Just her husband.
What can you tell me about Mr. Harmon?
Well, really, all I know is he came in to see Dr. Clayton a few times. Over a year ago, I guess. Then after he saw what was happening between Mrs. Harmon and Dr. Clayton, he stopped coming in. I sent a copy of his medical history to another doctor.
But Dr. Clayton had been seeing Mrs. Harmon all this time.
It's awful to say this now, Mr. Dollar. Doctor's dead. I'm no moralist. We're all human. It's happened before. Married people have been attracted by others. I'm tired, Mr. Dollar.
Sure. Do you have any idea why I was called in today?
At first, I didn't. Well, of course, it happened. The police told me about Mr. Harmon's threats. But I don't understand what you're trying to do. The police want Mr. Harmon, and what does it all mean?
It means the wrong man was killed.
Mr. Dollar.
I should have tumbled to it right away, but your husband fit the part too well.
Now, look here. I've been through quite enough today with the police looking for Ben. I don't have...
You and Clayton. I was going to be the star witness when the state tried him for shooting your husband. Whatever I said as a material witness would back up his self-defense plea and get him off on a justifiable homicide. Isn't that it?
I tell you, I won't listen.
And you and the doctor would sail to France and live happily ever after. What's the matter? Wouldn't your husband give you a divorce?
You won't listen. Go ahead. If you say it's that way, Mr. Dollar, and you know everything, I know you know everything, then it must be that way.
Yeah, only it got fouled up. Your husband did shoot your doctor boyfriend after all.
Get out of here. Get out of my house. You can't prove anything.
You're right, Mrs. Harmon. I can't prove anything. Not a thing. They catch your husband and they'll put him away for it. But you have something to live with for the rest of your life. Or maybe you didn't really love your doctor after all.
Get out! Get out! Leave me alone! Leave me alone!
What?
Well, that's it, Sergeant. I want to know if people can really get by with this kind of thing in our courts of law. Even when you pick up Benjamin Harmon, will he have any kind of defense?
Oh, we'll get him, Dollar. The others, I can't answer. What you just told me is really a thing. I don't see how any lawyer can do much for a guy who threatens another man's life and finally guns him down, do you?
Supposing I could prove that Harmon was being set up as a patsy, that the doctor was really supposed to gun him down and plead self-defense.
Up to the judge and the jury. When we get Harmon, he'll be arraigned and indicted on first-degree murder charges. Don't worry about that. And if it goes that far, it generally means he'll get the works. After all, we're pretty sure he shot and killed the doctor.
Hang up, Dollar.
Huh?
You still there, Dollar?
Hang up or I'll blow your head off.
Benjamin Harmon wasn't kidding. He was blazing mad, he had a gun, and I knew he wasn't afraid to use it.
I was across the street when you left my place a little while ago. Fixing up another deal, were you?
I don't know what you're talking about, Harmon.
I followed you here so we could have this talk. And we're going to have it, you and I.
You ought to put that gun away and let them take you. They'll shoot you down if they see
you. Nobody's going to shoot me down. Not yet. Now, where's your office?
Hartford, Connecticut.
I mean here. Where do you practice here? Come on.
I don't practice anything here. My office is in Hartford. This apartment belongs to a friend of mine. I'm standing in for him here while he's out of town.
Where's his office?
New York Mutual Liability.
I mean his law office. I want to get down there and see how much...
Hold on now. I'm not a lawyer. My friend's not a lawyer. We're insurance investigators.
Where's the office?
I tell you, we...
Listen! Clayton called me this morning and said a lawyer named Dollar was on his way over to talk to me about divorcing Florence.
If you hadn't started swinging that gun butt around, I'd have told you why I was there. I think I know why Clayton called you and told you that, but I don't...
You and he were trying to pull something to take my wife away from me. I know that much.
You're wrong, Harmon. I didn't know anything about that.
Nobody takes my wife away from me.
Now, that's the kind of temper that got you in all the trouble you're in. Look, you can shoot me here and I'll be number two. But they'll get you real easy here.
You know I didn't kill Clayton?
How do I know you didn't kill him? You threatened him. Half a dozen people heard you threaten him. I have an idea why you did it, and you might have been right, but murder for any reason...
Shut up! You're in on it somewhere. You know who did kill him, and you're going to clear me or I'll whip it out of you, Dollar. I'll whip it out of you!
Why, you crazy! You... All right. Here. Try this. Go on. I'm tired of fooling with you. Now get off your feet. Well, you've got one point in your favor. This gun hasn't been fired. Do you have another one?
No.
Here, take another drink. Now, you have a chance to talk to me right now. I don't think the police will be interested in much you have to say.
I wanted to kill Clayton, but I didn't. I didn't. Nobody will believe that. I know I've got a temper, and I've tried to control it, but I didn't kill him.
I'm not impressed with that. I want facts. Where were you when Clayton was shot?
How do I know? I didn't know what time he was shot.
Say between 5 and 6 today.
I was out getting mad. Fried.
Where? Who saw you?
No. After we met, I was so sore, I jumped in the car and went out and bought myself a jug. I know it sounds crazy, but I spent most of the time just sitting in the car down to the docks, just drinking and thinking and getting mad. I don't know what it was. I don't know when I walked over to the saloon, phoned Clayton. I told him I was on Alessandro Street and to come on down. I wanted to have a showdown.
You mean you wanted him to come down so you could kill him?
Maybe I did have that on my mind. I don't know. I waited an hour or so, but he never showed up. When I called back at his office, nobody answered. So I climbed back in my car, and that's where I heard about my being wanted for killing him. It was on the newscast. I didn't do it, Dollar. I swear I didn't. The others I knew about, I didn't kill them.
What others?
Florence always had other friends. Yes, I don't love her anymore, but I don't know. Maybe I hate her for all of it. when a man doesn't let part of his life walk away from him. I wouldn't give her a divorce. If I had let her get away with it, it would have been too much for me to hold.
Even though you didn't love her and you knew she didn't love you?
Yes.
That sounds stupid.
Maybe. I loved her once. She loved me the way two people only love at certain times.
Hell, no sense yet.
I'm not well, Dollar. Clayton gave me a year. Now the doctor, 18 months. Finished anemia. The two of them could have waited at least till I was dead, couldn't they? Couldn't they?
I found some sleeping pills in your medicine cabinet, and I fed him a couple with some hot cocoa. He dropped off to sleep in your bed while I made some phone calls, confirming what he just told me. Expense account item 5, taxi fare, $4.05 back to Oak Street, to Oakdale House. Special rates for nurses.
I thought you'd be back. I'm glad it's you. I think somehow you're the kind of man who understands things.
I'll be a good listener. Go ahead.
When I first started as his nurse, I fell in love with him. I guess it's an old story. Terribly old and corny. But then he met her. I heard him tell you all those lies today about treating Mrs. Harmon. I was out in the hall. Didn't have any idea exactly what he intended to do until I heard him call Mr. Harmon right after you left. He told him you were a lawyer.
He knew Harmon was upset enough to attack me.
Doctor was very good about knowing what people would do. I was here when Mr. Harmon called him tonight. Doctor took the call and wrote it down on the pad. I saw him put the gun inside his coat, and I knew he was going down there to shoot Mr. Harmon. So I followed him. He was walking around in the dark looking for Mr. Harmon with a gun in his hand. I ran up to him and pleaded with him not to be crazy, that she wasn't worth it. Then he said he was going to kill me, too. He struggled, and the gun went off I don't know how many times. Then I came back here and pretended I'd been down at the drugstore.
I see. What's your first name?
Jane.
Jane, Dr. Clayton made all sorts of elaborate plans so he'd have a self-defense plea. But you don't have to go to all that trouble. You can prove self-defense. He had the gun. He was going to use it on you.
I beg your pardon?
I can help you, Jane. It'll go second degree or manslaughter, suspended. You didn't mean to shoot him, but he meant to shoot you.
No. You're nice. But I can't get off.
What?
I guess they haven't found her yet. I killed Mrs. Harmon an hour ago.
Expense account item 6, same as 1, transportation back to Hartford. I didn't spend any other money, Chet. I didn't meet your girl, and I didn't see the musical. I didn't go anyplace. I just sat in your office and looked at the walls for the next 3 days. I'm leaving this where you'll see it when you come in tomorrow morning. Settle up and don't call me for a long time. A long, long time, if you call at all. Expense account total, $56.35. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
From 1952, it's been The James Clayton Matter, starring John Lund in Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. In just a moment, we'll enjoy Bold Venture with special guest stars Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart. That as yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall are perhaps best known for their roles on film, but they were also a very successful team on radio. They set sail for adventure, intrigue, mystery, and romance in a syndicated radio series set in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bogart portrayed Havana hotel owner Slate Shannon, while Lauren Bacall co-starred as his ward, Sailor Duval, a flirtatious young woman whose father had willed her to Shannon for her protection. The calypso-singing King Moses was portrayed by Jester Harrison, a gifted black composer and choral director, who was also heard as Sapphire's brother Leroy on the Amos and Andy radio series. Bold Venture was a big-budget production with a cost of $12,000 per episode. Some 78 programs aired over 423 stations, earning the husband and wife team $4,000 weekly. From the 1950s, it's Bold Venture and the Chinese Statue. Slate and Sailor become involved with a deadly quest for a rare Chinese statue of Quan Yin. Here they are, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in Bold Venture on this edition of Yesteryear.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture.
You can't tell much about Havana from a boat tied up at the waterfront, me long, especially at night. But you like Havana.
It is a strange place. But to one who has lived her life in China, all other places are strange.
It won't be that way for long. There's a little bit of all the other places in Havana.
Mr. Shannon.
All right, I'll get your suitcase, me
long. Oh, no, that is not it, Mr. Shannon. It is the other thing. Why did Sam Chu have me brought here to Havana?
You mean you don't know?
I know only in Shanghai a letter came to me from Sam Chu. A letter with money, with instructions. Then a man came with more instructions and took me away from Shanghai. Why, Mr. Shannon?
If I'd known you were in Shanghai, I might have brought you here myself.
What manner of man are you, Mr. Shannon?
I run a hotel, I own a boat. I meet freighters somewhere in the Caribbean. Because I have a client named Sam Chu who's in a hurry to see a girl named Mi Long.
Hello! Anyone aboard?
Yeah.
Is your name Slate Shannon, sir?
That's right.
Good. Excellent. Come aboard, Mickey. We'll talk to Slate Shannon. How do you do, Mr. Shannon?
Say, what is this? What do you guys want on my boat?
Let me hold the gun, Mickey, so Mr. Shannon can see it better. Good. You did that very well, Mickey. And you, young lady, how do you do?
Mr. Shannon, who are these men?
The lady asked a question.
We're friends of yours, Mr. Shannon, and hers. The closest friends you have in the world. Don't you think so, Mickey? Mickey can't talk. He just agrees with me. Don't you, Mickey? You see, what did I tell you?
Now that I know who you are, off the boat.
You hear that, Mickey? He wants us to get off the boat. To pick up the thread of the conversation, Mr. Shannon, what we want is the statue, the Quan Yin the lady brought with her from China.
You know what they're talking about, Mi Long?
I have brought nothing from China. A suitcase, that is all I brought from China.
Does that end our conversation, close friends of mine?
Mickey and I think the Quan Yin is on this boat, Mr. Shannon. Don't we think that, Mickey?
Well, then ask Mickey where it is.
With my holding a gun on you, you say that?
Say, look now.
Go ahead, Mickey. Well done, Mickey. Easy, easy. There'll be other times, Mickey. Mr. Shannon will not disturb us for quite a while. So, young lady, where is the Quan Yin?
I do not know what it is you want.
Search the boat, Mickey. Start with this suitcase. Now let us assume, dear young lady, that the Quan Yin is not aboard. Where did Mr. Shannon stop this boat and hide it?
Do not touch me with your hand.
It offends you, my dear.
Yes. Yes.
You slapped Zenda. You slapped Jeffrey Zenda. That's most unfortunate. Most unfortunate. I detest killing. Now I'm afraid, dear young lady, your body will be washed up upon some shore and someone will wonder why.
Mm-hmm. King Moses.
Yes, Lady Sailor.
What's that you're playing?
Waiting type song. Waiting for Mr. Shannon type song. You are my King Moses will have melody written in stone, so it never dies.
Thanks. How long have you known Slate?
Longer than you. Longer than anybody. Anywhere.
How long?
Since many years. In Port-au-Prince, I see man walking on waterfront. A man. I sing song. He asks my name. I ask his. We attach ourselves each to the other.
And it's been good?
With Mr. Slate Shannon, it's the better than anything.
That's how it is, King Moses. What's that kind of music for? Chinese girl Slate's bringing back?
No, Lady Sailor. We are about to be honored with the celestial presence of Mr. Sam Chu.
He looks like he's just stepped out of a Chinese finger painting. Looking for me, Sam?
Oh, Princess, your exquisite face brings tears of delight to the unworthy eyes of Sam Chu.
Hi, Sam.
I bow to the fragrance of your beauty, Miss Gail Duval. Your presence lends enchantment to Shannon's place. Where is Mr. Shannon?
He hasn't come back yet.
Mr. Shannon told me he would have my cargo here at precisely this hour. In a matter of this nature, Mr. Shannon has been a man of the precise second.
Oh, don't worry about it, Sam. But what is the nature of this matter? Slate never told me.
It is a matter of bringing a girl from Shanghai.
Well, this I already know. But does your wife know?
Unfortunately, I am not blessed with a wife. However, of the girl from Shanghai, she brings with her the fabulous Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin?
A statue. An idol.
That's more important than a girl from Shanghai?
Far more. Kuan Yin is a goddess. Priceless. Wondrous. I have made a girl suffer the ravages of a journey from China. The terrors of clandestine flight to bring Kuan Yin to me. When Mr. Shannon returns, have him bring the Kuan Yin and the girl to me immediately to the house of Sam Chu. Thus, I end the delight of your presence.
Likewise, I'm sure. Bye, Sam. King Moses.
Yes, Lady Sailor.
That Waiting for Mr. Slate Shannon song. Play it some more.
All right, Lady Sailor.
That doesn't do it.
You go to doctor wait for boat to see what that does, Lady Sailor.
To see what that does, King Moses. Lie still, Slate. Won't hurt so much if you lie still, with your head in my lap.
Yeah. He was good, wasn't he? He went over me real good.
Who?
A man who was owned by another man who owned a gun.
I told you it would hurt if you tried to move. If you want anything, I'll get it for you. All you have to do is touch my hand.
You know about pain, huh, Sailor?
Not like yours. Other kinds I know about.
Like what?
If I ever tell you, throw me away. What happened to you, Slate? Why did somebody try to make you over?
They thought we had something called the Kuan Yin. Me and the girl. Hey, where is she?
There's no one else on the boat.
Sailor, they'll... Wherever they've got her, they'll...
Oh, don't think about it. They've bruised your mouth.
Give me a day and I'll have it like new.
There's another remedy, Slate.
Wasn't bad. Remind me to get some.
I'll remind you.
Help me up.
You must be out of your mind. When am I going to get another chance like this?
Help me up. Ah, thanks.
You're welcome. Goodbye, Slate. Ask for me at Shannon's place. Maybe I'll be there.
Come back here. You're crazy, like your father.
My father was crazy to will me to you when he died? What else could he have done with me?
He could have turned you over to decent people, to safe people. People who don't get beaten up, who go on Sunday picnics, walk in a park.
You're stuck with me, Slate. You hate it? You didn't answer me. Do you hate it?
I'll think about it.
Come on. Put your arm around my shoulder and I'll take you back to the hotel.
We call on Sam Chu.
But Slate, you're hurt. You can't go.
We call on Sam Chu. Tell him I messed up his mission. You ask him why I did.
Anything you want, Slate.
to ask him why he hired me to pick up Mi Long, why she disappeared, why a man beat me up for a statue I didn't have.
I can steer a fine course to the house of Sam Chu. Just keep the arm around my shoulder.
You have come about Sam Chu?
That's right.
Both of you?
The two of us.
That is strange.
Where is Sam?
Please come in. Your face, it has been hurt.
His face has been hurt, but he still wants to see Sam Chu.
You may call me Tamar.
Clay Shannon, this is Sailor...
Miss Duval.
You are strangers to the house of Chu?
I've never been here before. I know Sam pretty well. He never mentioned...
Me? There is no reason why he should. I am in his employ because of my knowledge of antiques.
What about your knowledge of a girl named Mi Long?
Mi Long? A Chinese girl?
Girl I picked up from a freighter and brought to Havana. Girl who's disappeared.
On the radio, as I was driving here to Sam Chu's, I heard of a Chinese girl.
Well, what about her?
Only that she was found in Havana Harbor, freshly dead from a bullet wound. Could this be your Mi Long?
I got a feeling this could be our Mi Long, Slate.
Yeah. Take us to Sam Chu.
You must understand. When I returned here a half hour ago, I disturbed my employer not at all.
This is a lady with a message, Slate. Do you get the message?
No, I don't.
Then you are not of the police? I called them.
Police?
Please. In this room. There. There on the floor.
Sam.
I know what. You're going to tell us he's dead, aren't you, Tamar?
Precisely. If you can bear to look, there is a silk cord about his throat. Isn't that unfortunate, Miss Duval?
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now, back to Bold Venture. Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Quite a sight, huh, Sailor?
I've never seen a Chinese funeral before. Sam Chu and Mi Long.
Sam Chu and Mi Long. It was one of the toughest things I ever had to do, Sailor, identifying Mi Long.
She was that lovely?
That lovely. Light some more firecrackers, Sailor. Firecrackers to keep away whatever spirit she wants kept away. Money thrown in her coffin to pay her way into whatever paradise she wants.
A paradise that's watched over by Kuan Yin?
Yeah. What's there about a Chinese goddess? What's there about a statue that makes people dead? Sailor. Sailor.
Look at her.
Yeah. Tamar. Tamar in a mandarin robe like...
Go ahead, say it, Slate. I'll agree with you.
Like an enchanted princess. I'll see you, Sailor.
Where are you going?
To join the funeral. Get a princess to tell me a story.
Slate! Hey, wait for me! Slate!
A fascinating and pathetic spectacle, don't you think?
What? Oh, that's right. Fascinating and pathetic. Who are you?
If you don't mind, I am Jeffrey Zender.
I don't mind. That's your problem.
And you are Miss Duval.
And I am Miss Duval. How did you know?
Merely because the late Sam Chu pointed you out to me one day at Shannon's place, and I have never forgotten.
Oh, you knew Sam Chu?
Quite intimately. He was my business associate. Oh, would you care to join me in my own private manner of expressing grief over Sam's death?
All right. Yes, I would.
Sam's shop is just a few doors down.
I'd like to see how you grieve when a friend dies, Mr. Zender.
I noticed it was difficult for Mr. Shannon to tear his eyes away from the lovely and exotic Tamar.
Do you know her?
Only slightly. Here we are.
This place looks as if Sam collected all the loot in China.
Spurious loot. It's all fake. Will you sit down?
Thanks. Now grieve, Mr. Zender. I want to watch.
These statuettes you see on the shelves, all plaster. Mass-produced for the tourist trade. In all this rubbish, nothing so delicate or so desirable as a Kuan Yin.
Tell me more about this Kuan Yin, Mr. Zender.
About it? About it is that it's worth perhaps $250,000.
Oh, and there's nothing so delicate and desirable as $250,000, is there?
Quite. What is your theory as to where the Kuan Yin is?
Why should I have a theory?
I'll tell you why. A Chinese girl sails half around the world with a fabulous idol. Mr. Shannon is to deliver her to Sam Chu. She's killed. But suddenly she doesn't have the idol. Why doesn't she have it?
How do you know all this?
For a reason. I killed the girl from China.
I see.
Of course you do not see. Else you would tell me where the Kuan Yin is. Where is it?
I don't know.
Will you tell me, Miss Duval?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
As you wish it. Mickey! Mickey, come in here. Ask her where the Kuan Yin is, Mickey. Be gentle, but firm.
I knew you would come back to me, Slate Shannon.
And we both knew it, didn't we, Tamar?
I saw you when you were watching the funeral procession. It was a very long funeral, and all the time your eyes were on me, as they are now. You find me desirable?
An understatement, Tamar. Guy wants a lot of things. Some of the best, Mark, don't touch.
I am not fragile, Slate. I will not break. You may touch me.
Anything you say.
You see, I am not an illusion. Here, I will show you.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It is said the goddess Kuan Yin could kiss a wound and make it vanish. The image of her is believed to be just as miraculous by some. It is a pity she has been lost, is it not?
Yeah. Maybe if Kuan Yin weren't so miraculous, the girl I picked up at sea, Mi Long, would still be alive. And Sam, too. This Kuan Yin, does it kiss away dying tomorrow?
If you gave her to me, gave me the Kuan Yin.
What makes you think I've got it?
Because a man like you, it would have been simple to steal from Mi Long.
Yeah, it would have been, but I didn't think of it. Also, she didn't have it. Now it's your turn again.
I don't believe you. I don't believe
you. Besides the miracles, how much will the Kuan Yin bring in Yankee dollars tomorrow?
The Kuan Yin image is a symbol of the tears of Mother China. Your having her is a desecration.
Oh, where did all the gentle go tomorrow? Look, if I had the Kuan Yin, maybe I'd give it to you. That would make us pals again, wouldn't it? You and me and Mother China.
Get out. Get out of this house. Your presence is insulting to the memory of the dead.
Yeah, we almost forgot about that, didn't we, Tamar?
Get out!
All right. Some other time, huh?
Mr. Shannon, he taken his boat on ride. Two fellas on deck, in shadows they hide. No beefsteak or lotion can start to erase the bruises they bumped on Mr. Shannon's face. Mr. Shannon, he
what
was...
What time is it, King?
Miss Sill is not back for 5 hours already.
I didn't ask you that.
No, you didn't ask me that.
Where could she be for 5 hours?
In Havana. In 5 hours in this Havana, you get born again and live again.
Oh, she's never been away from me this long. As long as she's been here.
Lucky fellow, you, Mr. Slade. So beautiful is Miss Sailor. She... Look, Mr. Slade.
Yeah, I see him. You want something, Chico?
Por favor, yo quiero, Señor Shannon.
Yeah, my name's Shannon.
Bueno. Un hombre, a man, he said to come here to this place and find Señor Shannon.
All right, all right. What man? What did he want?
No sabe what man. He say, go to here, this place... And tell Señor Shannon like this. Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin?
Si, Kuan Yin. He say also, bring it. He say, bring it to shop of Sam Chu. He say, Senorita Duval.
Now, what did he say about the senorita?
The senorita will be there, that is all.
What man told you all this, Chico?
I do not know.
What man? What man told you this?
I do not know. I do not know. I swear it by my mother. I do not, senor. Un hombre on the street, he tell me to...
Okay. You did all right, Chico. Open up.
Mr. Shannon.
Where is she? Where's Miss Duval?
Come in. You're very prompt, Mr. Shannon.
I asked you something. I asked you, where is she?
Ask politely, Mr. Shannon. This gun at your stomach says, ask politely. Come. Miss Duval is in the back room. Through this litter of Sam Chu's vulgar tourist art. Through beaded curtains. Also vulgar. Miss Duval. Mr. Shannon.
You all right?
Just on time, Miss Slate. These ropes keep doing things to my wrists.
Oh, they're bleeding.
No comments, just on time.
Sure.
Not quite so fast, Mr. Shannon, not quite. You forget two things. One, this ugly little beast in my hand. Two, the exquisite Kuan Yin.
Oh. We barter, huh? I give you the Kuan Yin, you give me Miss Duval.
Precisely.
The man strikes a hard bargain, Slate.
Yeah, I remember. He's got a hammer named Mickey.
Mickey will trouble no one anymore.
Oh, he'll be washed up on the beach like Milong.
Exactly. As flotsam. Or is it jetsam?
Jetsam.
I never can remember the difference. And now, Mr. Shannon, now that we've touched gloves, the Kuan Yin, please.
Now, you just don't understand how it's going to be. First, I release Miss Duval. Then I take her home. Then you get the Kuan Yin.
You didn't bring it with you?
I left it at the hotel.
Why, I'll...
No, you won't. You kill Slate. No Kuan Yin. You hurt a hair on my head. No Kuan Yin. Isn't that how it is, Slate? If he hurts a hair on my head?
Maybe you need time to think it out, huh, Zander?
Tamara and I have waited this long. We will wait an hour longer.
Oh. You and Tamar. Who wound the silk around Sam Chu's throat, Zander? You, Tamar? I only asked because it was so professional.
Thank you. I did. It was necessary. So I did.
Sure. Just as a matter of curiosity, how much is the Kuan Yin worth?
$250,000.
Hey. You come expensive, sailor. Real expensive. Almost as expensive as this.
Fool! Take your hands off me! I'll kill you!
Try me.
Now you can untie me, Slate.
Yeah.
You did good.
Yeah. Let's go, sailor.
Wait a minute. Look, over there in the corner. A shining statue, like something lighted inside.
Hey, what do you know? It's the Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin. It's beautiful.
Oh, leave it alone, sailor. It's beautiful. And it kills Sam Chu. Leave it alone.
Must have been here all the time.
The oldest trick in the world. Sam has something valuable, so he covered it with something cheap, plaster, like all these other phony plaster statues. If it hadn't fallen off the shelf during the fight, it would have been lost forever.
And the whole business, the girl from China, all of it, a little Chinese play staged by Sam Chu to trick whoever else wanted the Kuan Yin.
I'll leave it there, sailor. Let's go.
To Tamar?
To Shannon's place. Cops can have Tamar and the Kuan Yin.
You sure you don't want to go see Tamar?
To Shannon's place. You coming, sailor?
Take the wheel, Slate.
All right.
I like this. Night, moon, trade winds, boat.
You ought to like it. This boat cost me a lot of money.
I paid half, remember?
Yeah, that's what I said. You paid half. Take the wheel, sailor.
What's the matter with you?
I'm in pain. My mouth hurts. Take the wheel.
All right. It's bad, huh?
Awful.
Take the wheel.
All right.
Slate.
Yeah, sailor? Hey, who's got the wheel?
Be still, Slate. What can we run into in the middle of the Gulf Stream?
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
From the 1950s, there's Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart in The Chinese Statue from Bold Venture. Well, that does it for this edition of Yesteryear. I'm Craig Roberts. Thanks so much for being with us, and join us again next week at this same time for more of the best from the golden age of radio. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you, Sodio, Vodio, Dodio, Do. Radio.